T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fits well in what Flip does with their offense. He's accurate. I mean, he makes some throws this year. There's a couple throws that he's made where you just say, wow. And so I know he works really hard at his craft, and he's really starting to gain some trust and rhythm with those receivers.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's Matt Nagy. He's talking about Cousins. He's talking about the opposing quarterback this week. Is he a Barrington native? Did he go to high school?
Yeah, he grew up here until he was 13.
And then
He
was a Bear fan.
He was a Bears fan. Yep. He went to a camp with Leslie Frazier when he was at Trinity College, I believe. He went to had some interaction with Mike Singletary. He grew up a Bears fan. He is definitely a guy that, until he, in his formative years, until they moved, he was a guy that, I don't know in those days what quarterback you looked up to with the Bears, but there weren't many. He probably felt like
he would be the one.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. the number of quarterbacks the Bears
have. Oh, the long and... That's a long and inglorious list.
Oh,
but, you know, Kirk Cousins goes to the Vikings in free agency. You remember back to, you know, all the choices that he made and how he targeted the Vikings. And I think that he looked at them as a team he could take to the Super Bowl. And they looked at him as the reason they would be in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
All those reasons still exist. And I think that, you know, whether or not they have – the season has not gone the way that they maybe envisioned in Minnesota, they're still very good. And they're still very dangerous, and the receivers make them so. But I think the biggest key for the Vikings, from the Vikings' perspective, coming into Soldier Field on Sunday night, is Kirk Cousins to a degree, but it's the offensive line. That is a very ordinary offensive line.
Yes,
they've gone through five different starting combinations.
Okay, how good is the Bears' offensive line?
It's a battle of average. You know, if you're looking,
I think the Bears' offensive line is better than the Vikings' offensive
line. Slightly, I would give them a slight advantage.
But look at the inside. I mean, you know, they're picking up players and starting them, right? They're moving a guy in that probably shouldn't be playing yet, and they are facing one of the best defensive lines in football. Line's playing very well right now.
It's a point well taken, but I think as much as the Bears have moved around with, you know, without Kyle Long, they've had to have some, you know, different combinations there, the instability there has not been as great as the instability with the Vikings offensive line.
I agree.
And that,
you,
to me, gives the Bears a slight advantage because this game, these are two teams that are very similar.
Yes.
You know, they rely a lot on their quarterback to make plays with his arm and his feet and all those things. They have good receiving core, pretty explosive elements of the running game, defensive pass rush. Which offensive line plays better could determine which team goes home, you know, with the win.
I totally agree with that. And if I had to pick which offensive line going into the game, I would go with the Bears because I think they're better. I think they have a better offensive line and they play better than do the Minnesota Vikings. But I think it's really an interesting game, and I think there are really good defensive players in this game. And I know we're used to watching the 7-on-7 drill, but I'm expecting different than that. And it's going to be 20 degrees, and it's going to be a night game at Soldier Field in a cold November. Against the dome team.
I mean, it sounds odd to say, but you know, from Minnesota, this is a dome team. This is a team that's very good indoors. Mm-hmm. How are they going to react to 20 degrees with the wind swirling and all those things?
When you say dome team, though, what does that mean to you?
It means a team that becomes accustomed to relying on speed and explosiveness.
It's a team built on speed to me.
Yes.
And I think the Bears are they've turned into a team built on speed. They weren't initially, but they have turned into that a little bit. They've got a lot more speed right now than they've had.
Cohen, Gabriel.
Those kind of weapon guys.
Those two guys especially.
Those are quick guys, but they're speedy quick guys.
When you look at Kirk Cousins, before we get to the phones, and you look at Mitch Trubisky, I've made this comment a couple times in the offseason and some in the early part of Mitch's first part of this year. If Mitch Trubisky ends up being as good as Kirk Cousins over time, that's, you know, that's not a bad comp to me. I mean, I think when you look at the type of skill set, you would take that. Would you take
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Do you have to have higher expectations?
No. I think he's a really good player. And I don't.
You see similarities
he's not
there?
The best team in, he's not the best player in the league. I think that Mitch can move better. I think Mitch can run more. I think he has a different
and
dimension.
Cousins is more
to
accurate?
I would agree with that.
So, but I do see some similarities there, but just in the
too.
Way that they almost approach things. Kirk Cousins might be even, he's one of these guys when we talk about the intangibles. His intangibles are off the charts. He's maybe a little bit more expressive, a little bit more, you know, of a assertive leader, more obviously right now at this stage of his career. But I do see some similarities.
312-644-6767. John is in the Western Suburbs. Morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I think the difference here on Sunday, Minnesota's got a running game. It's not their quarterback. I think their defensive line is such that they don't need to blitz a lot. They've got 31 sacks amongst the front four. They've got a shutdown corner that's going to be on Robinson, I think, Sunday. So we'll see what happens there. But I think the difference will be whether or not the Bears can get some kind of running game going, because if they're one-dimensional, Minnesota's going to put their ears back and look out, Mitch. It's going to be a long night.
But, John, everything you just said about the Vikings is true about the Bears.
That's exactly right.
They can get to the quarterback without having to blitz. They have a cornerback that you really do trust. I mean, okay, neither one of those guys is Xavier Rhodes necessarily, but you don't feel like either one of them is going to be overmatched, do you? And the thing is, too, Vic Fangio is smart enough and the pass rush is good enough to where you're not going to have to put those guys, Mukamara or Kyle Fuller, on an island on either one of those receivers as often as you would have to if you had to blitz a lot and play a man coverage behind it.
312-644-6767. Mike is in Jerusalem.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
Where is
Hello,
Jerusalem?
Good morning.
Is that real Jerusalem?
Yes, Jerusalem is real. How are you?
No kidding.
Wow,
God, that's
good morning.
Great, Mike. God bless you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
It's not morning for me. It's the afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. I grew up in Chicago. I still pronounce it Chicago, not Chicago. And one of your fellows made a statement about the best bear of all time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who said that. I assume it wasn't Mike Lombardi. But comparing Khalil Mack to Walter Payton is like comparing Derrick Rose to Michael Jordan, okay? I grew up watching Walter Payton. There was nothing like Walter Payton. By the way, have any of you youngsters ever heard of Gale Sayers?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this a little bit. Here's the comment. It was Dan Hampton yesterday at the 100-year, they're going to have a 100-year anniversary next year, and they're mapping out the plan for that. And Dan said that, in his opinion, Khalil Mack was the best bear in 30 years. And he said, no offense to Urlacher.
Yeah, one of you guys said that he never saw Walter Payton play. He only saw highlights.
Yeah, yeah. That was Kevin.
Yeah, that was Kevin.
And because, we clarified, 30 years, because, obviously Walter and obviously.
But nobody was suggesting that Khalil Mack's better than Walter Payton.
We mentioned Dick Butkus, and we mentioned, we didn't, I never saw Sid Luckman.
Walter
but
Payton
I
took
did
them
see,
to the playoffs with a quarterback
Red Green
than Bob Avellini.
I'm aware.
We're definitely in the Payton camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Avellini threw a wicked pitch out to Payton. That was about it.
It worked.
Payton led the team in receptions. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. We're familiar with his career.
On the year that Payton led the league in rushing, Harper, he had almost 1,000 yards.
That's
because
right.
Nobody was.
Right.
How many did he have again? 994 or something?
Yes, he did. Something along those lines.
Oh, yeah. We're showing all the respect in the world of Walter Payton.
Yeah, no, Mike, I think you've, one of the younger guys didn't understand. The comment was 30 years.
And Gale Sayers came up?
Gale Sayers did come up, and he, of course, in the same draft class as Dick Butkus. And Gale Sayers, the problem with Gale was that his career was cut short by injury, and the abbreviated career still got him in the Hall of Fame, but it was a brutal injury and at a time where there was no surgical remedy in the same fashion there is now. You couldn't have arthroscopic surgery. That hadn't been invented right. yet, which I believe actually was another thing that we stole from NASA, believe it or not. But thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And please keep listening from the capital of Israel. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But we didn't mean to offend the history of the Bears. It was we were commenting on a question.
It really wasn't any disrespect to Walter Payton at
not
all.
At all.
Everybody understands.
Kevin is in Palatine. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Morning, guys. That's a tough act to follow, calling on Israel. And that guy had a lot of Les Grobstein-like information there. So that is a good call from a foreign land. Khalil Mack, the best player in the last 30 years of the Bears. Yeah, and once again, no offense to Brian Urlacher, but yes. But my main reason for calling is Javi Baez going to do it again? I believe he absolutely will, and I believe if Brian is back healthy, I believe that will make Javi even better. But I did have one last comment.
Wait, I want to ask you a question about that, Kevin, and I'll let you make your last comment. But I'm curious, if you had to pick one Chicago Cub that's going to win the MVP next year or the year after, would it be Javi?
In the next
would
3 years. Yeah.
Yes. Would it be Chris Bryant?
If he's healthy, it's Bryant.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I'm just saying, you know.
So how does a healthy Chris Bryant help Javi?
It was getting on that he won't do it again.
Gotcha.
Now, who should have been traded immediately, and just give me 1 second here, who should have been traded immediately is the right fielder for the White Sox, who now Bruce and everyone is telling us they're parading around and they're really
Bryce
looking
Harper?
For offers. What? No, Avi. Well, what do you actually think you're going to get for Avi Garcia? Overweight, injured, horrific fielder, and no more power? Who's dying for that, guys? Have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks,
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I mean.
Well, Avi's trade value is not what it was after 2017. Right. He did not have a good 2018.
No.
He was injured. He was limited.
Yeah,
he didn't play enough games.
And that's why they don't want to give him whatever it is, $8 million, to keep him for another year.
Bryce Harper likes deep dish, though. So he's coming to Chicago.
Did you see that? That was on, what is that, TMZ?
TMZ Sports. Don't pretend like you don't watch it.
No, I
don't pretend.
I didn't watch it. I saw the clip.
Okay.
And the clip was him at the airport.
Yeah.
And it was
a
guy
in his face.
The guy asked him what food he liked, where he liked the best, and he said Chicago. That was his favorite place to go, and he mentioned a steakhouse, right? What did he say? What was the name of the place he mentioned?
He did mention a steakhouse, I thought.
Steak 48 or something? Was that what it was? I believe he mentioned Steak 48 as
his favorite
place. Steak
48 in Chicago, yeah.
And then he said he liked deep dish pizza, but he kind of laughed about it. He also said he likes New York restaurants.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I know.
You know what really has good restaurants? San Francisco has really good restaurants, too.
They do.
If anyone cares.
So you're saying he's going to the Giants?
No, but if I had to pick like one of my favorite food towns, it might be New Orleans, and I don't think they have a baseball team.
It's one of the cities that you've been to so far has had your favorite food.
Favorite food?
Maybe Philly, cheesesteaks?
Probably Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah, great food.
You like the deep dish pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I like a place called Steak 48.
Okay.
It's really good. Deep dish, of course. Anywhere in New York, of course. I mean, being able to go out there and eat good food—that's huge for him. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a big factor, right?
Steak 48.
Make a reservation now because I got a feeling it's gonna load up with people.
615 North Wabash. If you're a Bryce watcher,
yeah, you might run into him. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. We are delighted to welcome in Sam Panionovich. He, of course, with VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, and a regular on the program. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, gentlemen. For the first time in 13 weeks, we've done this 13 weeks in a row. Guess who's favored to win the NFC North?
Guess who? You got to be kidding me.
Cody Parkey's team?
Cody Parkey's team, yeah. We can't talk about his practice on television, but we can tell you that the Chicago Bears are favored to win the NFC North right now in Vegas at plus 120. So $100 wins you plus 120. Guys, this team before the season, they were 10 or 12 to 1. And right now, we're over halfway through the season. This is not a fluke anymore. When Vegas moves a team to a favorite to win a division in November, this team is for real. They are plus 120. The Vikings are plus 140. Then the Packers about 3 to 1. And the Lions, God, are they awful. They're 100 to 1. But the Bears are favored to win the division. They're 12 to 1 to win the conference. and they're now 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. They have the eighth best odds in all of football. Rams, Saints, Chiefs, Steelers, Patriots, Chargers, Vikings, and Bears. That's where we are right now.
So, Sam, if they're that favored to win the division, why aren't they favored more against the Vikings at home on Sunday night?
Well, because when you look at the schedule right now, they're favored at home in this game against the Vikings. And these things will change, right? If the Vikings win this game on Sunday, they'll be favored. This is a very fluid situation. Vegas still thinks on a neutral field the Vikings are a better team by just a hair. I think they like the quarterback a little bit more. They might like the defensive line a little bit more. But it's all semantics at this point. It also might just be because of the handle. You may have more people that have already bet the Vikings. So if the Vikings were to win the Super Bowl, they'd pay out more money. But it's really, really, you know, neck and neck. The Vikings are 22-1 and the Bears are 25-1. It's all semantics at this point, but it doesn't matter who's favored, who's not favored. This team is for real, and that's really what we should take from this.
And you know, the Vikings are a pretty damn good team too, and we've seen them kind of suffer through some losses, some injuries, you know, obviously an issue with a player. Now here you have them coming off a bye week, and they will be at full strength, well, close to full strength for the first time all year.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Dalvin Cook is going to play. He's passed all the tests. He's been practicing. He gets Stephon Diggs back, one of their great weapons at receiver. Xavier Rhodes, the cornerback, has been playing. He's healthy now. So you've got Waynes and you've got Rhodes at corner. Only guy that's really missing right now, Anthony Barr, their linebacker. Andrew Sandejo also at safety. But this is about as healthy as they've been. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Everson Griffin coming back to that defensive line, that's a big deal. He's getting pressure on the quarterback. When the defensive line can get through the offensive line, it makes the linebackers better. It makes the secondary better. And this is probably, in all honesty, this is probably the most complete team the Bears have seen to date. Say what you want about who the Bears have beaten. You can only play who's in front of you. And I did see this. I think it was one of you guys that was talking about this, that last year the Eagles and Patriots had two of the easiest strength of schedules, and they ended up playing in the Super Bowl. So you can't fault the team for who they play. It's not like the Bears made their schedule, but still, this is the best team to date. I have no doubt about it. This is the best team to date the Bears will play.
Sam, in college football, it's a pretty blah schedule. I mean, you got Alabama favored by 51 against the Citadel. Notre Dame, that's a little bit higher marquee at Yankee Stadium, playing against Syracuse. What are you looking at college football this weekend?
Yeah, I'm not going to lay the 51 with Alabama, although they could be up 51-0 at the end of the second quarter for all intents and purposes. In college football, I want to look at a game. College game day is going to Orlando, and UCF is hosting Cincinnati. This line opened up at 8, and I really do think the Bearcats have a chance to win this game outright. You're talking about a team with a better defense getting points in a spot where they can win this game. Cincinnati 9-1 this year. UCF is good. They could score a lot of points, but they haven't done it against a good defense. I mean, I don't know who the best defense they played in the last couple of years. They did play Auburn in the bowl game, but as you guys know, when a team like Auburn is shooting for a national championship and they fall flat, they don't care about that bowl game. So this is going to be the most locked-in defense they're going to face. I think Cincinnati has a chance to win the game outright. That's one of my favorite picks. I took the 7 with Cincinnati, but that Notre Dame and Syracuse game is very interesting. That line is going all over the place. The Irish opened up. They were 9.5-point favorites. Then it got to Notre Dame minus 11, and now there's been some buyback here. Notre Dame about minus 10 or minus 10.5, and guys, I don't know that they've faced a dynamic quarterback like this in a long time. Eric Dungy, Orange quarterback, 14 passing touchdowns, 12 on the ground, and he only has 6 turnovers. He's better than Shea Patterson. He's better than any quarterback they've seen to date. And at Yankee Stadium, anything goes in this spot. Crazy things always happen in November. This is going to be a tough spot for Notre Dame. I'm not going to call the upset, but this is not a pushover by any means. This is going to be a tough test for the Irish.
We got off the NFL without asking you about the Saints. They have been a cover machine. The problem is they've now got Brandon Marshall, and we know that he is kryptonite to playoff dream. So
toxic.
They would seem to have already gotten there, but he's never been in the playoffs. Wow, I don't know. Bad
moment. He said he has a lot left, too. He's like, yeah, I got a lot to offer. Yeah, really? He's never played in a playoff game, ever. And he always tends to wear out his welcome. I'll never forget doing the sideline game that year against the Dolphins when he exploded on the entire team. That was the end of the Mark Trestman era. But you're right, Molly. This team has covered 7 games in a row. 7. which is unthinkable in the NFL. And people keep kind of bumping their spreads up. Rather than make it 5, you make it 7. Rather than 7, it's 9. Rather than 10, it's 12. And they keep covering. And it's ironic. I talked to a couple bookmakers in Mississippi, which is very close in proximity to New Orleans. What do you think they're betting there every week? Saints in the over, Saints in the over, Saints in the over, and it keeps cashing. They won their last 7 games by an average of 15 points. But this line, I mean, you get the Eagles. I don't want to go against the freight train. I'm not going to pick the Eagles per se, but you get the Eagles at plus 8.5 or plus 9, which is just ridiculous because that's still a good football team with a decent quarterback and a good coaching staff. But because of how many games in a row the Saints have covered, 7 in a row, this line is so inflated now. The look-ahead line was 6, but because of how they played, not to mention the Eagles losing on Sunday night, this line could be 9 or 9.5. It might even be 10 by the time we get to Sunday.
Sam, you're keeping your head above water, 13-12 on the year. What are your favorite plays this weekend?
Yeah, that's what I get for picking against Northwestern and the Bears last week, right? It's all my fault. I am taking Cincinnati plus the 7. I like the Colts to win the game, so I'll lay the money line price. And look, I picked against the Bears, three times. I picked on them twice. If they beat this game, I will shut up. But I'm going to take the Vikings here. I'm going to take the 2.5. How about Chicago 21, Minnesota 20? I'll say the Bears win, but the Vikings hang inside the short number at 2.5. Take Cincinnati, the Colts, and the Vikings this weekend.
Great stuff. Thanks a ton, Sam. Always a joy.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, guys. See you later.
That's Sam Panionovic, VSiN Network. Always a good time talking to him. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Grew up in the Northwest suburbs, and so I understand well, the environment at Soldier Field. I understand that fan base, and I understand the proud history there, which, again, we've talked about the NFC North and how it's 4 great organizations that have a great deal of history through many years, and the Bears are certainly one of those 4. So we've talked about several weeks now how it's a dream come true or a great opportunity or a moment where you pinch yourself a little bit to realize you're living a dream, and certainly playing at Soldier Field on Sunday Night Football.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is, of course, Kirk Daniel Cousins, KD, if you will.
I'm not going with KD.
No?
No, I don't think he's a KD. He's an interesting guy, though. I mean, he would be fun to cover because he is he speaks well. He's got a good sense of humor, and
So they drafted RG3 with like the 3rd overall pick or the 2nd overall pick, and then they doubled back in the 3rd round, and took.
Was it the 4th round?
Was it the 4th round? But the point is, they drafted their quarterback of forever. And then they doubled back and got an insurance policy.
Not only that, RG3 had success early.
He had success his first year. Waylaid by injury?
I think that's probably injury contributed to the way his career sort of derailed.
Mm-hmm.
When he was on top of his game, RG3 was a guy you didn't expect to be out of the league as quickly as he was out of the league.
Yeah.
Now he's not out of the league.
No,
but
he's still a backup.
Kirk Cousins was a 4th-round pick in 2012, he was the 102nd overall. And now he's a guy that signed the big money $86 million contract with the Vikings.
And what was RG3? Was he a 3rd overall pick? Do you have that draft there? Because my point is, it's an interesting philosophy. It's an interesting draft tactic. Was Mike Shanahan there at the time where you're getting your quarterback, but you know what?
He was 2nd overall. Trubisky.
Yeah. So
he was at drafts Mitch Trubisky.
And so, you know, did they come back double time? You know, this guy's good too. You do that. You see that happen with, we really need help on the offensive line. Let's get 2 of them. And you got 2 starters with the Colts that came out.
You're protected that way. It's just a reminder how uncertain the draft is. And you look at the Vikings team as a whole. Kirk Cousins is a great example of that, a 4th rounder that now is, you know, their leader and got the long-term big money contract. Their receiving core is an example of just how much of a crapshoot the draft is. Because as we sort of tease going into break, Laquan Treadwell from Crete Moni High School,
right,
who had, you know, broke all the records in high school, 3,563 receiving yards, a 2nd leading receiver in Illinois State history, has a great career at Mississippi. 1st-round pick, 2016 draft, 23rd overall, has been somewhat of a disappointment in Minnesota. And I think that when you look at his inability to kind of make an immediate impact has not been felt, or maybe, I don't say noticed as much, but because they have Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, two guys who weren't expected to have the kind of impact they've had. Diggs is a fourth-round pick. Thielen was undrafted.
Yeah.
And look,
from what,
just,
Division Two, Division Three, from like a, I mean, he was Minnesota State. Someone joked yesterday that's where the guy from Coach coached, that TV show. That's got to be one of the more remarkable.
He's almost got 1,000 yards already. They played 9 games. He's almost got 1,000 receiving yards.
It's unbelievable.
And he just does everything right.
Yeah.
He's as sure-handed as they come. He runs good routes,
yep.
All those things.
Yep.
And then they complement each other so well. And that's why if you're Kirk Cousins and you're looking around the league and you're trying to pick your next team as he was during free agency, you see these guys. I mean,
Stephon Diggs
was a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, he flies.
And he is a big play guy. He's sure-handed too. And so Treadwell kind of fits in. He comes in as their number three receiver, probably given every opportunity to succeed because he's a first-round pick, and they can afford to kind of try to work him in slowly. He's got 4 drops this season. He's not had a great year statistically. He's, you know, in 9 games, he's got 20.
He's been hurt.
27. Yeah, he has been hurt, yeah. He's not a guy. He's at 27 receptions, you know, 253 yards. He's not been an impact guy with 1 touchdown. But you know that. As excited as Kirk Cousins is going to be, you know, playing in Chicago at Soldier Field where he's 2-0, Laquan Treadwell, well, is it one of those guys that it's going to be a big night for him. Bears got to make sure it's not that big of a night.
What do the Bears do best on defense?
Rush the passer.
Okay.
They have to rush the passer. And they.
What about stopping the run?
They do that well enough. But you know what? Everyone talks about the Vikings running game, and I get it because that's conventional wisdom. Stop the run, make them one-dimensional. They're the 28th rushing team in the NFL.
Why?
The Vikings have had injuries, and they have an offensive line that you don't trust. They've had 5 different starting combinations.
Right.
This is not an offensive line that's going to come in and you think immediately on tape you see that and they're going to control this football game. No. You think the Vikings can control this football game because of their skill, because of their explosiveness.
Their best running back has missed 5 of their games. Right?
Dalvin Cook comes back, though. He's healthy.
So now he's healthy. They've been relying on sort of an interior run game, because they didn't have that dimension of speed, the outside stuff that he can bring you. He's also a real danger in the passing game, and that wasn't the case with Murray. So you now would get the added benefit, not just of improvement in your run game, but also in your passing game, another target.
No doubt about it. And I think that's...
But the Bears are, as you say, that they're really good on defense.
The keys to the Bears... You know, defense are the same as they are every week. And the things that when they have had breakdowns is because they haven't tackled well. They haven't kept things in front of them. And when you don't tackle well, you're going to be prone to a big play. Very seldom have you seen anybody get behind the Bears' defensive backs, right? You don't see those big type of chunks in that way.
Part of that is their ability up front, because it takes time to get behind defensive backs.
Quarterback doesn't have 3 seconds to stop, drop, and throw. You know, and look downfield. So that is the formula the Bears have used successfully. Get to the quarterback, force these short throws, keep everything in front of you, and then gang tackle. And that's every defense's goal. The Bears have been able to do that well enough. That's the key to Sunday night. Because if the Vikings can find a way to establish a running game and maybe slow down that pass rush a tick, that's when you start to be able to exploit the danger of a wide receiving core.
But a guy like Khalil Mack coming back, a guy like that as an outside rusher, you saw it in his first game back against the Lions. He's facing double, triple teams. They got 3 guys. They got the tight end on that side. They got the tackle, and then the running back is trying to chip him as he's going out. I mean,
doesn't matter.
It's amazing.
It doesn't matter
how you have to be aware of him and how you have to defend that. And it's just fascinating to me that he has been as good as he's been given the amount of attention he's gotten. Usually, you see, you know, you can block one guy and then the other guys are hurting you.
It was the Mack attack.
The Mack attack. Baldy's right. The Mack attack is going to be a big factor Sunday night. NBC is probably going to have a Mack cam every play.
Mack,
I would.
Mack attack is back, and that's a fact.
It was the Mack attack.
John DeFilippo is going to be a
lead to a sack.
he's going to be an offensive coordinator that I think is as innovative as the Bears have probably faced, and they're going to probably come they're going to come up with a way to try to neutralize that the way the Dolphins did. The Dolphins came up with the best method yet in terms of coming away.
They got rid of the ball.
And Mac was limited in that game, certainly with an ankle, but they got rid of the ball quickly. Brock Osweiler was efficient without being explosive.
No.
And Kirk Cousins is even better than that. And he's accurate, and I think that's the one thing that scares you a little bit. But
Let me just ask you, in total honesty, even better than Brock Osweiler, is that a compliment?
No, it's not. But Brock Osweiler.
But he is even better than that.
He is. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm with you. No, I know.
Osweiler, that played against the Bears, was efficient.
But I think that the Mac who played against the Dolphins was injured. That's the game he got hurt in. And certainly the following week, you know, he was a shadow. But now he's back. And the Mac attack is on track.
Dr. Seuss. Jeez.
God help us. 312-644-6767. You want to know who's going to win the game? You want to know exactly how it's going to break down? It is Biggs time next. We will bring in our guy, Brad Biggs, and he will give you his prediction of the score, as well as a breakdown of Minnesota, a breakdown of the Bears, and he might even break down. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
These Bears? Oh, my.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.